WWP Studio Hamburg Worldwide Pictures. Molten metal pours and forms into a red tablet with the word Zinc imprinted into it. Zinc Entertainment. An illuminated manuscript. In Gothic lettering, Dungeons and Dragons, Wrath of the Dragon God. The manuscript starts to char from one of its corners, burning through an illustration of a half-orc. The path of the burning paper travels towards an illustration of a black dragon, its mighty wings reared upwards.
Ages ago, an evil artifact was created. An item so mighty in my hands, it would unleash a nightmare onto the land.
A grey humanoid creature made of burning lava runs through a forest fire. Three hooded figures follow the creature down a path.
For 30 centuries, it has remained hidden. After pursuing every whispered rumor and battling for 100 years through countless foul pits, its dark power is finally within my reach.
The creature is pushed into a lake by one of the hooded men where it melts. An animation shows the formless creature heading out to sea as a black mass in the water. Water cascades down a high rocky face. Mountains shaped like the hooded figures loom over a fast-traveling river. The three hooded figures push a boat out to water.
Now, retribution is at hand. Nothing can keep me from it.
The three hooded figures part a river in front of them, creating a path through the water.
There is no path too perilous or hazard too great. The specter of death does not daunt me, for I am already dead.
Inside a cave, one of the hooded figures approaches an egg-like object, supported on a stone table by a claw-shaped holder.
Giving birth to this nightmare is my most coveted dream. I will see them all burn.
The figure, who has scaly blue skin, walks through fire to get to the orb. He spreads his arms, then takes the orb into his hands.
My pain ends. Theirs begins.
The scaly figure turns into a bald human.
At last I am free of this undead curse.
The bald man, Damodar, raises the orb.
The orb of Falazur is mine. What chance does Ishmir have against me now?
He looks into the orb. Patterns morph around inside it. Inside a walled city, a handsome brown-haired man, Beric, looks out of a window and watches a sword fight.
Sir, the problem remains that Halifax has threatened not to sign your law for the new sewer if you cut off the supply of wheat. So, as you can clearly see, we must act now. My lord? Are you listening to me?
All I do is listen. My days are filled with nothing more than figures and reports and compromise. I'm growing as soft as the velvet cushions upon my chair.
Sir Beric, you are a minister in the House of Lords. Urgent matters of state are at hand. This should be your concern, not some boyish duel.
Beric strides out.
My lord!
Valerius! Have you forgotten all my lessons? You parry when you should attack. Captain of the King's Guard should always press forward. Forward, boy!
Fetch that rusty blade of yours and let us settle this in the battle circle. Unless, of course, you prefer that I come up to your chamber, where we might joust with, quills.
Beric hurries over.
Men, this is Sir Beric, former captain of the King's Guard, and at one time, my teacher. Sir Beric, I sincerely hope this doesn't keep you from your duties as royal tax advisor.
As of this moment, Valerius, the instructions resume.
Beric and young 20-something Valerius sword fight. Beric sends Valerius reeling. The two men square off again. Beric blocks a sword stroke from Valerius and the two men square off again. Valerius charges forwards but is parried again. Valerius back kicks Beric, sending him flying. Beric attacks with a round of sweeping sword strokes. Beric knees Valerius in the stomach, but Valerius attacks back. Valerius ducks an arcing swipe from Beric's sword. Beric disarms Valerius, then somersaults backwards off a ladder and places his sword at Valerius's throat. Beric helps Valerius to his feet.
Bravo! Well done, Sir Beric. You have beaten me.
Barely. You're the most talented of all my students, Valerius. The care of the king is in good hands.
Officers, prepare your men. We march at dawn.
King's company!
I long to join you. There's nothing quite like lying exhausted on the battlefield, victorious.
Your place is here, in Ishmir.
On the contrary, my value lies in the field. You saw the results in the battle circle.
I did. Unfortunately, you did not. Instead of the plume, it could have been your head.
You let me win? Why?
Beric, you will always be my captain, and I will never forget what you have taught me. Especially this last lesson.
And what lesson is that?
To recognize when it's time to sheathe your sword for good.
Valerius hands Beric a scarlet-coloured plume. Beric looks down at the plume, distraught. Day turns to night over the walled city. In a candle-lit room, a pretty blonde woman wearing robes puts a scroll down on a table. Peering at it for guidance, she shakes some ingredients from a vial into her hand and rubs it together with something else. The woman stares ahead.
Tiok Mardo Volium. Damn it, Beric.
Now, is that any kind of language for the wife of a lord?
I have picked up some dubious habits since we met.
Well, it's always been my ambition to sully the virtue of a well-bred mage.
Virtue's the least of my worries.
What's wrong, Mona?
I bought this scroll from the Temple of Obad High. I've been trying to mend these gloves using divine magic. Unsuccessfully, I might add.
Divine magic?
There are two different forms of magic. Mages like myself work with the arcane. Our power comes through knowledge and endless hours of study. But divine magic is completely different. It's granted by the gods. Certainly nobody in Ishmir can do it, which is why, if I'm successful, a position on the Council of Mages is guaranteed.
Well, don't let me stand between you and greatness.
The pretty woman, Melora, picks up the scroll.
Tiok Ma Do Livonium Doc Uvana.
The spell briefly sets fire to some ingredients on the table. Melora frowns. Beric strokes his wife's hair and hugs her.
Perhaps we were destined to remain in our current stations.
A bearded man hovers at the door.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Is there something we can help you with?
Sir Beric, I've travelled from Saragasso. An evil has descended on our village.
What kind of evil?
It's something terrible. Deep inside Mount Harth, two of our menfolk entered the cave on its slope yesterday morning. They have yet to return. Please, we need your help.
Beric, Melora, and the bearded man ride horses down a dark cobblestone street. Later, they gallop through a dark valley. Inside the cave, Beric holds a torch as the other two follow. They look ahead and see smoke belching out of a hole.
Poison gas.
It is, as I said.
Stay behind me. Dikos, Minas, Mil, Cabal.
With a spell, Melora clears the drifting gas away from the cave. They continue onwards, Beric looking quietly impressed.
Those holes must lead to some unknown source of evil deep in the mountain.
Evil, yes. Unknown, maybe not.
Beric, do you know what this is?
When I was with the freebooters, we plundered the ruins of ancient Turan.
Beric, hurry.
And there we discovered hieroglyphics, which depicted...
Beric pushes up something in front of him. It's a giant eyelid.
A colossal black dragon sleeping in the heart of Harth Mountain.
Then those holes...
are not holes at all. They're nostrils. Please, Sir Beric. What are we going to do? What shall I tell my people?
Tell them to flee.
Later, in a darkened library...
The Tomes of Turan. This is all we have left of their civilization.
Should we wake the Council of Mages?
No. Let's first find out if the Turanians can shed any light on this.
Are these similar to the hieroglyphics you saw in the temple?
Identical.
It's indecipherable.
Maybe the text is hidden. Look, all the symbols are jumbled the same way in the books. If we can figure a way to combine them in the right order...
That could take weeks! A vision spell might reveal how to decipher these books immediately.
What do you need?
4 sticks of ivory and some incense. The expensive kind.
Good thing I'm a lord.
Later, incense is burned. Melora stares ahead in a trance.
Liliani Ormani Maelexital.
She closes her eyes. Her mind's eye begins a journey down a stone corridor leading to a door with coded inscriptions. Beyond the door, she sees the orb in its claw-like holder and Damodar rising from a coffin. Melora comes out of her trance, panting.
What happened?
I don't know, you tell me. You screamed and the table exploded. Are you hurt?
I had the strangest visions. I saw the Turanian mages. There was a sphere. A black orb. And then... I can't remember.
Oh, you're ice cold.
It's just the strain of the spell casting. I'll be fine.
Melora, you're here. I'm taking you to a healer.
Look.
A bright light shines up from 4 books. Melora moves the books into a position where the design on their covers links up into a square. The 4 shining books meld into one another and become a large bound book. Melora opens the book. Inside, its pages glow. Beric looks at the pages from behind his wife. On the first page is a rune-like script.
What does it say? Can you decipher it?
Be the snowflake, the cleansing flame, the ancient stone, the endless wind. The four elements. My God. The Libra.
A dragon buried in Half Mountain!
Where Beric and his wife are sleeping over a table. The balding man in front bangs his staff.
What is this I hear of creeping poison and buried dragons? My dear girl, are you so covetous of a position in council that you're willing to fabricate a drama?
With all due respect, she's not fabricating anything. I saw it with my own eyes.
What did you discover?
Not I, Your Majesty.
3,000 years ago, Falzior, the evil dragon god of decay and undeath, descended upon the ancient civilization of Turan. The Turanian mages drew their power from the elemental forces of nature, earth, air, fire, and water, and they had become so powerful that they refused to pay Falzior tribute. Whole cities were razed. Thousands died, but in the end, the Turanians were able to defeat the Night Dragon.
Nonsense. You can't kill a god.
But the Turanians were able to imprison Falzior within Hearth Mountain and trap his powers in a black orb.
Where did you hear such tales?
Melora opens the big book and light shines out from the pages. The three men peer into it.
The Libram of Turan. I've heard, but how? Where?
Here.
Here?
In Ishmir's library. Hidden for 1,000 years.
Tell me more about this orb. Where is it kept?
Even without all his powers, Falzior is still a mighty dragon. There's no prison that could hold him indefinitely. So the Turanians placed the orb in some kind of suspended animation that kept the dragon dormant.
Then they built a fortress around the orb to ensure that Falzior would never rise again.
So why does he stir now?
The Turanians never recovered from their battle with Falzior. Their cities crumbled and their magic was lost. For over 1,000 years now, there has been no one to maintain the defenses guarding the orb.
Your Majesty, we fear that someone has penetrated the weakened Turanian fortress and removed the orb from its suspension.
So when will Falizur awaken?
The Libram says the Night Dragon will free himself by the dark of the first new moon.
And the land will be consumed by wickedness. It will kill us all.
It's night time. The balding man, Oberon, stands over the book with other robed mages.
Os clitherai stax nazro.
What are they doing?
It's a discern location spell. They're combining their power to try and find the orb.
Netandu bifun il kumas.
I have broken your paltry spell. You were right to cower before me. It is good practice for the coming age, for I am Damodar. My master, Prothean, cursed me to return as a corpse creature should I fail him, which I did not! He was killed before the damnation could be removed. For 100 years, my sole companion was unbearable agony. But now, I am whole again. And the orb of Falizur is mine. I will annihilate the descendants of those who defeated me. When the almighty and all-encompassing power of the Night Dragon awakes, he will grant me a boon, and I will rain down my revenge on you. You.
What happened, Oberon? What did you see? Did you see the orb?
Ishmir is in grave danger.
Damodar holds strands of blonde hair in his hands.
She's so beautiful.
don't you think?
Pretty, pretty. Not for much longer.
In a market, a grey-haired man in regal robes stands with Sir Beric. He barks an order up to a soldier on a horse.
Tell Valeris to return to Ishmael City at once. The fate of the kingdom may depend upon it.
Your Majesty.
Sir Beric, how is Melora?
Still weak from the vision spell, but she will no doubt be ready to help the other mages when the time comes.
We need to get the orb from Damodar, but his spells have prevented us from divining its whereabouts. I wish to summon 5 of Ishmael's greatest heroes. A party small enough not to alert Damodar to its presence, but strong enough to take the orb from him.
You have summoned Valerius, but he will only be back in 3 days. Any delay may prove fatal. I shall go in his stead.
Beric, it is my belief that if Ishmael is to be saved, it will be by your hands. I summoned you here to help me choose your comrades.
I should start with Lux. No one in Ishmael is more ferocious in battle.
Reckless temperament runs in that family.
You bloody fool. My map!
In a tavern, a burly bearded guy looks up at an attractive long-haired woman who has a jagged tattoo on her forehead. The man stands and goes to punch her. The woman, Lux, blocks his punch, puts him in an armlock and chops him in the throat. As others in the bar attack, she dispatches them. One gets a tankard smashed into his face, another man attacks with 2 daggers. She kicks him right across the room, where he flies into a table. Lux leaves.
For wisdom, there is Dorian, a cleric of Obed High. He and I were part of the party that stormed the Ghost Tower of Inverness.
In an abbey, 3 soldiers bound in and stop by the pews where monks are praying. One of the monks, a goatee-bearded man in his late 30s, wearing a huge medallion, stares ahead, then speaks.
Gentlemen, shoes are not allowed in this sacred space.
What are you?
His piety is only matched by his power.
Sorcery must be fought with sorcery.
There's always Ormeline.
Of course, the elf wizard. But she hasn't left her island in decades.
Yes, I know.
Wizard, eh? What? Bait fishing?
She's a skillful adventurer, and it is rumored that she seeks a challenge great enough to test her powers.
We must impress upon her the importance of this quest.
Although he is sometimes as dark as the shadows that he walks through, if secrecy is the goal of this quest, no one is more stealthy than Nim.
The rogue?
St. Pelis are pure-hearted, ripe for the pickings, just like I promised.
A hooded man hands money to short and stocky Nim.
There's your share. Now beat it. Are you trying to cheat me?
I'm not trying, runt. I'm doing it.
Nim shrugs, nods and goes. The 2 hooded men approach a skeleton holding a sword. As one of them reaches out to take the sword, Nim turns to watch. Nim nods to himself as one of the men goes to grab the sword again. As he does so, flames shoot out of the wall, setting the man and his accomplice on fire. Nim watches them burn.
A formidable crew. It is my experience that those with such talent are difficult to control.
It is this level of skill that will save Ishmael. Without it, we have nothing.
Beric, you must not fail.
A group have gathered in a large castle room.
The forces of evil are gathering, and the righteous citizens of Ishmael are in peril. You 5 have been summoned here to represent them, and to be the champions of all that is good. Cunning, wisdom, intelligence, and strength, together but without direction. Beric, it is your duty to lead this quest. You must find Falajur's orb and return it to Ishmael.
It shall be done.
To the Council of Mages goes the task of discovering how to place the orb back into suspended animation. Without that knowledge, its recovery is useless. 2 perilous tasks. Both must be completed before the Night Dragon awakes and destroys us all. If one fails, they both fail. But do not despair. Proceed in the belief that your comrades will succeed. And we will be victorious.
In his castle, Damodar is served by his bearded, pointy-eared servant.
I'm ready.
What do we have tonight?
Drow.
Klax comes over to Damodar, who's lying on his front, and pours blood into a gash in Damodar's back. He rubs it in with a grinder. Damodar smiles with pleasure.
The ecstasy of life.
In Beric's house, Beric walks past a window and sits on his four-poster bed, where blonde Melora is lying down. He stares lovingly at her. Melora looks pale. Beric dabs at her head with some cloth. She smiles weakly.
The barbarian is very beautiful.
Melora, you know she was chosen for her skill in battle, not her looks.
Oh. So you agree that she is beautiful?
You waste your energy on such thoughts, for I will not leave you while you are unwell.
Beric, I'll be fine. You must go.
This illness is unnatural.
My strength is returning. I'm really preserving it for the days ahead. Ishmael needs you more than I.
As a fire burns in its hearth behind them, they share a tender kiss. Beric hugs Melora tightly. It's daytime. Lux and Nim saddle their horses.
Hey, Roe. You want a hand up?
You'll be the one who'll be needing a hand if you don't take that paw off me.
Rogue, it's too early to be spilling blood. Even for me.
Tall, beautiful Lux, who's wearing a new buck cape, turns away from little Nim. Nearby, Beric approaches the king.
Sir Beric, I don't have to remind you that time is of the essence.
I understand all too well, Your Majesty. It is precisely for this reason that we journey to Malak's vault.
Malak built a pool of sight.
It will penetrate Damodar's defences and show us the location of the orb. Then, Ormaline can teleport us there.
Many adventurers have sought Malak's vault. None have returned.
Ishmir is at risk. So risks are what we must take.
Do you know the location of this evil place?
I don't. But I know who does.
Who?
The goblins of Kirtle.
Now mounted on his horse, Beric turns and sees his wife looking down at them from the top of their house. He shares a look with her, then trots away, leading his team towards the city wall gates. As they ride off, Melora turns away and looks down at her leg, which has turned crusty and grey. Beric's team lead their horses down a narrow street. Behind Lux is a beautiful dark-haired elf, Ormaline, who wears a midnight blue satin outfit. Now they lead their horses through a grassy cemetery past two dwarves. Later, they all rest in a field. Lux sharpens her sword. Nim, wearing a leather waistcoat and fingerless gloves, munches on something, then casts a glance over at her.
Tell me, Lux, what did your brother see at the barrier peaks that drove him crazy?
Tread carefully, Rogue.
I am treading carefully. I was at the Lincroft Inn the night Yat killed all those people.
As was I.
Yes, and if memory serves, it was your sword that ended his madness. How can you be sure that she too won't go berserk and put us all at risk?
Lux throws her sword towards Nim and it flies over the top of his head.
Do you doubt my control?
The next time you try that, you better kill me.
Nim strides off. Beric crouches down by Lux.
As captain of the King's Guard, duty demanded that I confront your brother.
Duty is why I'm on this quest. And I have no quarrel with you.
Books are consulted and potions mixed in glass vials. The room starts to shake.
Valazir stirs.
The tremors are growing in frequency.
Consider it an incentive. But, sir, the Librum remains a mystery. Why, if they intended for us to use their magic, would the Turanians hide it so well?
I'm sure the Turanian mages did not want this might falling into unworthy hands. Which it oppositely has.
But how do we prove our worth to mages dead over 1,000 years?
Oberon holds his finger to his gritted teeth and looks over at the large book anxiously. He walks round, inspecting the mages as they work, then wanders over towards Melora, who's standing over a burning metal dish. Oberon casts an inquisitive eye over Melora.
What is this? Explain.
I'm summoning a magmin.
For what purpose?
Well, the Turanians drew their power from the elemental forces of nature. I thought perhaps a creature born of fire and earth might provide insight into their lore.
A magmin is of moderate intelligence at best. What knowledge do you hope to gain?
Perhaps such a small creature will be the first step in unravelling the bigger mystery.
Oberon nods.
Continue. But be careful, for you look unwell. And magmin are as wild and dangerous as the forces that birth them.
Oberon walks off into the shadows. Melora stares ahead, deep in concentration. Oberon returns.
Quintana. Kimel.
Melora falls back. Lava oozes out of the dish. A creature made of lava climbs out and looks around the library. The creature runs around the library, touching objects and people, immediately setting them alight.
You set fire to it!
Rosta!
Water shoots out of Oberon's staff, freezing the creature where it stands. Later.
Lord Oberon, this news would be better served coming from you.
Yes, yes. I see. Thank you.
Oberon crosses the room over to Melora, who's looking pallid and fearful. Oberon gazes into her teary eyes.
You're dying. Your body is decaying from the outside in. When the corruption reaches your brain, you will die and then be reborn as one of the undead. Like Damodar.
I think Damodar penetrated my vision spell. Is it possible he infected me with the same curse that afflicts him?
He will need a part of you to maintain the curse.
My hair. Somehow he took some of my hair. How can this be?
Perhaps the orb gave him such vulgar power.
How long do I have?
I cannot say. But the strain of spellcasting will hasten the end. Melora, If I've been hard on you over the years, it's only because I saw in you the potential to be a great mage. I'm truly sorry.
Oberon leaves Melora, who sits in a white gown, sobbing to herself. In a field, Beric and his team stop their horses and gaze towards a dense wood in front of them.
Hartshorn Wood.
Must we travel through this corrupted place?
It is the shortest way to the Mudwash River. From there, we can sail to the goblin village of Kirtle. Going around would take too long.
Well, can't you just teleport us there? As I have never been to Kirtle, I have nothing to visualize. I might teleport us 100 leagues in the wrong direction.
What are your thoughts, Nim?
I think never before have I heard such blubbering. Some champions.
Barog is right. Beric, lead on. We trust you.
Beric leads them towards and then through the wood. Dappled light hits the grass beneath as they ride along in single file. In the trees above, an impish black creature with leathery wings watches them. Beric's squad continue on through the woods. Later, bearded Dorian places his hand upon the bark of a young tree.
Blessed are the works in nature that provide for those in need.
He takes a warhammer to it and fells it with one blow. Lux picks up the trunk and rolls it along the ground. Down by a river, Nim throws a stone into the water.
Nim, surely there's something you can be doing to help.
What do you think the goblins of Kirtle know of Malak anyway?
The goblins worship the demon Jubilex. Together they helped Malak build the Pool of Sight.
You don't say.
Malak used the pool to find virgins on the eve of their weddings. He would teleport into their chambers and steal them back to his vault. There he would sacrifice them to the demon lord.
Then you know how Malak died.
About 100 years ago, Malak got caught in the act, hung, drawn, and quartered, and pieces of his body were dipped in acid.
Body dipped in acid. Yes, yes, we've all heard that one before. Do you want to know what really happened?
Speak your mind, Rogue.
As a cruel joke, Jubilex created a flaw within the Pool of Sight. Unbeknownst to Malak, every time he used it, there's a chance he would get an imperfect vision. About 100 years ago, Malak teleported himself into a brick wall.
Why don't you go and give Lux a hand?
Sure thing.
Nim shoots a sarcastic smile at Beric and strolls over to a pile of bags, which he lies down on. Beric hears something.
Dorian?
Oh, great, hold back high. It hurts!
Lux! Nim! It's Dorian!
Beric sprints through the wood towards the noise.
Beric! Beric, I'm hurt! Help me, Beric!
Dorian, how did this happen?
How do you think it happened? This damn tree fell on me! Come on, get it off me!
As Beric tries to lift the trunk off of Dorian, Dorian dematerializes and reappears as Clax, a pale zombie-like creature with one hollow eye socket.
You transgress into the necropolis of Clax the Malign.
Clax paralyzes Beric with a bolt from his hand.
Most recently, I have been experimenting with a spell to disintegrate one limb at a time. Let me show you how far I've progressed.
Nim throws a dagger which hits Clax.
Lana Hatana Mignagal.
Lee! The lich is too powerful!
Bilger and Crook, fella. Kill them all. Drain their lives.
Back to the raft! Now!
Clack summons a ghostly army that chase Beric and his team through the woods. The Phantom Army, who have horned helmets and axes, charge after Beric's squad. Beric's squad reach a raft with a sail by the river and run aboard. As Dorian holds his arm out towards the army, Ormaline creates a spell to get the raft moving.
Dorian, the spectres! Banish them!
In the name of Ulvan High, I banish you unholy abominations!
Dorian's spell wipes out the army as the raft moves along the water. Ormaline turns to Beric.
You should have known better, Beric.
Downriver, Beric and his team disembark the raft. Later, in the woods, a dagger lands by Nim's feet.
You seem to have left yours in the lich. I want it back. When this is over.
Nim smiles and wipes the dagger's blade.
Want some?
Luck sits by Nim, who's roasting a rabbit.
What troubles you, Beric?
I blundered into that trap like a farm boy on his first campaign. Fool.
You punish yourself unnecessarily. Going off alone to save a comrade is a brave deed.
Brave? I nearly got us all killed.
But you didn't. Obadiah's benevolence saw to it.
We got lucky. And there's too much at stake to rely on luck.
Beric, there's a weapon for good other than magic and steel.
What is it then?
That's something you'll have to discover for yourself. But when you've found it, you'll know what it is.
Beric stares at Dorian. Oberon's in the library.
There's a vital element in the Tyranian magic that we fail to understand. Lacking something.
Melora comes in.
Melora?
I can still help.
Pale Melora sits down. Oberon stands over her.
Give me your hand.
She gives him her pale, scaly hand.
Your heart still beats. But understand that the first sign of your conversion to the undead, I will incinerate you.
The forces of evil hear the call of the orb. They wait to pick the rotting dead carcass of Ishmir.
Good times.
Indeed.
Damodar looks up from his black throne as white-headed Clax comes in. Damodar's servant springs up to attack him. Clax holds out his arm and light emanates from his fingers.
Stay.
Beware, lich. I have the powers of the orb at my disposal.
The full strength of the orb is beyond your mastery. You wield but only a fraction of its might.
Enough to fry your rotten bones and send you back to whatever foul pit you crawled out from.
Perhaps, but you misunderstand my intentions. I am on a mission of goodwill. Lord Dabada, is it your ambition to reunite Fallajo with the Org, thus unleashing his evil onto the world? I would be dismayed if the spread of misery across the land occurred without my contribution.
A lich has loyalty to none but itself.
Lord Damada, a quest has set out from Ishmir. 5 champions sail towards the goblins of Kirtle.
5 champions, you say? More like 5 field mice unaware the hawk's shadow has fallen on their backs. Let them think in their ignorance that Ishmir still has hope. It'll make it all the sweeter when they are torn to pieces.
Damodar holds his palm out over the orb and the whole room lights up. In the woods.
Goblins? Where are they?
It's a massacre. Who could have done this?
Not who. But what?
As the team walk through a ruined woodland village, Nim holds a red gem to his eye and looks through it.
How will we ever find the pool of sight now?
This looks like the shaman's hut. If there is any clues to Malak's vault, they'll be in here.
They climb a wooden ladder up into an empty shaman's hut. There's an animal skin on the floor and a ram's head stuck on the wall.
Ormaline, see if there's any magic.
Divante Mektalun.
Ormaline leads Beric over to the other side of the room. She picks up a small statue, shakes it, then throws it to the floor where it breaks open. Inside is a ring.
What kind of ring is it?
I need time and study to determine its function.
As Nim and Lux check another part of the room, Dorian picks up a glass jar of eyeballs. Beric finds a secret panel in the wall, but there's nothing in there. Nim finds something beneath the animal skin on the floor.
There's a secret door beneath the bed.
Beric pulls the trapdoor open. Lux goes to put her hand down into the trapdoor hole.
Your witch should be as fast as your hands. It's a trap. Stand back! All of you!
Nim throws a rope up over one of the roof beams and ties one end to a chest handle that's been placed in the trapdoor hole. He takes the other end of the rope as the team watch.
I want you all to see what would have happened if I wasn't here.
He hands the rope to Lux.
Go ahead.
Lux pulls the rope and giant spikes come shooting up through the floor by the trapdoor.
You saved my life. I'm in your debt.
No, you're not. Nobody's ever given me anything before, so that makes us even.
Nim takes out a vial.
Stomach acid of a purple worm. Eat through anything.
He uncorks it and pours it over the lock of the chest. Beric opens the chest and removes a book from inside.
to Malak's vault. Damodar will never know what hit him.
It's an ambush! Everybody, out!
The team leap out of the shaman's hut, avoiding something above them in the sky. They take cover from a black and white ice dragon with rows of icicle-like teeth. The ice dragon lands. The dragon's giant head passes Dorian's hiding place. It turns towards him, but doesn't see him. Dorian scrambles out to face the dragon. He raises his hand towards it. Flames shoot out from Dorian's hand, but the dragon breathes ice over him, freezing him solid. As the ice dragon eats up Dorian, Beric throws a spear at it. Lux runs over and drives her sword through the dragon's tail.
Formally, when I give a signal, cast a lightning bolt! Nim, use that acid!
Nim throws acid over the dragon. Pretty Ormaline blasts the dragon with white light and it shatters into pieces. The team cover their heads as solid pieces of the dragon shower down. Beric sees a frozen section of Dorian's leg. Later, they stand over his grave.
There the tears of the earth are dried. There the hidden things are clear. There the works of life are tried by a juster judge than here.
Ormaline lays a flower over the burial mound as the rest look on solemnly. Beric turns to his three remaining squad members.
If any of you wish to depart this quest, the time is now. There will be no turning back once we enter Malak's vault.
So you will continue on?
Alone, if need be. There are friends and families to protect. There was no dishonor in choosing them over Ishmir.
Well, I've no friend, no family. And I would like to repay Damodar for this treachery.
I too will join you. I'm with you to the end.
Our duty is to Ishmir. The orb comes first. Dorian would have wanted it that way. But if there's a chance to kill Damodar in the process, then by all means, let's gut the bastard.
It's nighttime. In the library, Melora sits studying the large book. She shuts it and carries it over to Oberon, who's asleep in a chair.
Lord Oberon. It's, look. These runes start on page 892 and end on page 894. Page 893 is missing.
Has it been torn out?
No. Look. 892 is on one side. 894 on the other. Either 893 never existed, or it has been concealed.
What do the runes say?
They say fire reveals all.
Is it your belief that setting fire to the Librum will reveal page 893?
This is what the Magmen was trying to show us.
We can't burn the Librum.
We need proof before we can proceed with such a drastic measure.
Lord Oberon, she is part undead. This idea might originate
from the evil that corrupts her body.
My lord, test your heart. Does this belief come from what you are or what you are becoming?
My heart. My heart tells me that this is a test of our belief. The Turanian law remains closed to us because we have yet to show our faith in it. We must prove ourselves worthy of this power.
Oberon nods sagely. Melora snatches up the book and breathes deeply, going into a trance-like state.
Umadil. Lamare.
No!
The book burns as the mages watch with fascination and horror. In the ashes of the book sit acorns.
Look, acorns and oak leaves.
The ash travels upwards in a spire like a mini tornado.
Melora. Raise your head.
Melora looks up as the tornado of ash begins to travel across the room.
Follow it!
The mages follow the tornado as it zooms through the library and turns a corner. The tornado travels down a corridor and turns another corner, followed by the mages. In another room with a checkered stone floor, the tornado stops at the top of three steps and whirls on a platform as the mages watch it. The tornado drills a hole into the stone floor beneath it.
Fire. Wind. Water, earth. The four elements.
Someone removes the section of stone flooring and the mages peek down into the hole. Oberon descends the steps leading down into it. Everyone follows him down into a dark stone room. Torches on the walls spontaneously start burning, showing the way down into a corridor, similar to the one that Melora saw in her vision.
Well done, Melora. Well done.
At the end of the corridor is the door with rune-like lettering. Beric and his team march through a sunlit wood and stop by a steep bank leading downwards. Beric consults the map from the chest.
The map says it's supposed to be in this hollow.
Nim looks through his gem.
Everyone over here, take a look at this.
Beric looks through the gem and sees a statue standing in the wood.
A gem of true seeing. I never knew you had such a treasure.
I come prepared for everything.
Well done, Nim. Vinlana Hatana Mignagal.
Ormeline says a spell and the black statue of a man holding a sword materialises. They make their way down to it. There's an inscription at the base.
To all trespassers, if you wish to join the others in death, insert your name below and I will notify your kin. Malak. It appears Malak was not without a sense of humour.
Yes, but how do we get in?
That's not good.
They look around, but there's nothing there but trees. Beric sheathes his sword.
Be on the lookout.
Beric, Remember the Shrine of Kuotoa?
Yes. This is a puzzle lock. If we can spell out the right password...
An arrow hits the statue. They look up and see hordes of men gathering at the top of the bank.
Bandits!
Lux, Ormely, hold them off!
This must be more of Damodar's treachery.
The bandits charge. Lux fights with two, cutting them down. Ormeline shoots bolts at the bandits and they go flying. Lux takes down another two.
There must be something contained in the text.
Oh, maybe a name.
Did Malak have a wife or children?
Lux stabs a bandit, then dodges a sword swipe. She headbutts her attacker.
Wait, how do you spell Malik's name?
M-A-L-E-K.
You spelled with an X. The password contains an X. Why?
X. Nick, the demon who built the pool of sight.
Duplex.
Beric pushes letters in the inscription and the statue slides away, revealing an underground passage.
Ormely! We got it!
Lux goes into a frenzy, watched by worried-looking Ormeline.
Barbarian, get a hold of yourself!
Ormeline blasts the ground by Lux and she falls. She then blasts a bandit about to attack Lux. Lux dashes to the underground entrance where the team are waiting. The team descend. The statue slides to cover the hole as the horde of bandits charge it. Valerius rides through the city gates with an armor-clad army.
Your Majesty. I mobilized the cavalry as soon as we got your message. The bulk of our legions will arrive on tomorrow's eve at the earliest.
Valerius, tonight is the dark of the moon.
We will have to hold until then.
Any word of Beric on your travels?
Do not put your faith in him, Your Majesty. Any hope of saving Ishmir will come from the King's Guard and the strength of our steel.
It's nighttime. In a candle-lit room, Oberon sits in the bath reading as a servant pours hot water for him.
I think Malor has stumbled upon the essence of the Turanian law. It's altogether a new kind of magic, something we've never seen before. Could be powerful. Yes, the girl's daring has invigorated me. It gives us all hope.
That's good. Thank you, Peter.
Yes, Master.
The servant leaves as Oberon thinks to himself.
Amazing. She believes, and the law opens up to her.
Outside, the servant is dragged away by Clax and killed.
Pico!
In the dark rooms beneath the statue of Malak, Beric has his sword drawn.
Careful. Single file.
They all creep down a stairway.
I don't like the look of this.
We all have to die sometime.
Yes. I'd prefer not right now.
High above them, hanging from the ceiling, giant black flowers begin to open up. Lux looks up and sees the giant flowers about to attack. Ormeline blasts a flower, burning it up as Nim tries to pick the lock on a door.
Step aside!
Beric stabs a flower on the ground as it writhes like an octopus. Nim unpicks the lock and they hurry through the doorway as more octopus flowers drop to attack. On the other side of the doorway, the team jump down towards an arched brick tunnel. They pass the tunnel and head down a corridor cautiously. At the end of the corridor is a room with an illuminated floor. They stop and stare in.
Now what?
Nim, look through your gem.
Nim puts the red gem to his eye.
Nothing, but the gem doesn't pierce anything mundanely concealed.
Perhaps I can help.
Ormeline takes out a white object that turns into a dove.
This is Ona, a friend of mine since childhood. She will investigate for us.
The dove flies into the room. A bolt from the floor zaps and kills it.
Poor Ona.
There must be a way across. Maybe a device to turn the energy field off. Search the walls, the floor, the ceiling.
They all look around at the walls in the corridor.
Beric, I think there's something behind this wall.
Stand back.
Strange. It looks like a mirror.
Lux, lift me up.
Beric lifts Nim up and Nim removes a brick high up in the wall. Inside a hole beyond the brick is a metal lever.
What is it?
Oh, it's, some type of lever. A very complex mechanism. You'll have to all look away.
What for?
I'm about to employ ancient secrets of the Rogues Guild that I alone in the world have the ability to execute. I want it to stay that way.
Just hurry up, Nim.
Nim pulls the lever. The brick wall opens up next to them. On the other side of the wall is a mirror which faces the illuminated room.
The mirror reflects a path.
Okay, I'll go first. Ormeline, you follow, then Lux. Nim, you bring up the rear. If we stay on the path, we should be safe. Watch the mirror.
Consulting the mirror, Beric steps into the room. The mirror shows a path through. Beric walks backwards through the room, always looking at the mirror. He makes it to the other side. Ormeline follows him. As Nim and Lux also follow, Beric and Ormeline step through into a room beyond where human skulls look down from the walls and a glowing stone tomb sits in the corner. Ormeline looks into the shimmering tomb.
I'll try to figure out how to operate this foul device.
Lux completes her crossing of the room, but as she does so, the walls close over the mirror.
Nim, make haste!
He's not going to make it.
Nim, only a few more steps.
Jump, Nim, jump!
Nim jumps into the far room, but is hit by a bolt from the floor.
Is he alive?
I think I feel a pulse. Ormeline,
Can you teleport him to a healer?
I have only two teleportation spells prepared. One to take us to Damodar, another for the return trip to Ishmir.
He'll have to stay with us.
They carry Nim over to the tomb. Inside is an undulating pool of light.
Malak.
The pool retains the image of its last use. The operation is simple enough. We need only think of a subject or object and its location will be revealed in the pool. I can teleport us to that destination. But this apparatus was constructed by a fiend and success is not guaranteed, as you can see.
Inside the pool of light is a man's frozen, grimacing face. Beric concentrates. Now the pool shows a room in Damodar's castle.
We are fortunate. The room appears free of obstructions.
Omelie, you hit him with a lightning bolt. Lux, you know what to do. I'll go for the orb. Omelie?
Let's get on with it. Monos, Betori, Holo, Gibran.
The four adventurers dematerialize. Damodar turns his head and sees Beric and his team appear in the large stone room. His pointy-eared servant runs up a flight of stairs. Ormeline holds her chest and screams. A cage of bones drops down from above and traps Beric and Lux. In a corner of the room, Nim has become conscious again, but grits his teeth in pain. Damodar sits on his throne with the orb in the stand next to him. He casts a steely gaze towards the cage of bones.
Ishmir's heroes in the flesh. And this is the best you can do. Ishmir must be really desperate to have sent such fools. I was tempted to keep you alive so you could witness the destruction of your beloved city. Unfortunately, I have never been able to control my urges, even as a dead man.
Damodar holds his palm out over the orb. Pretty Ormeline looks on in fear as the orb glows bright blue. She shoots out a bolt of blue light from her hand, which hits Damodar in the chest. Damodar's body stiffens, then relaxes as he absorbs the attack. Beric reaches for his sword at the same time as Nim hurls a dagger at Damodar, which embeds itself in his leg. Beric chops down the door of the bone cage.
Help the others. You cannot win.
Beric somersaults over a bolt attack from Damodar and cuts off the arm holding the orb.
Wrong.
Damodar's servant tries to grab the orb.
Lux, the orb!
Lux takes the orb as Beric stabs the servant in the stomach.
Beric, leave him! We've got to help Nim and Ormeline! Hold on. We're almost home.
Ormeline.
Beric looks down at Ormeline, who has sunk to the floor looking weak.
Can you teleport all of us to Ishmir?
I can cast a spell, but I cannot join you. Not like this.
Take us to the Temple of Obadiah. They are the best healers in the land. Lux, prepare a tourniquet. Ready when you are.
Very well. Monos.
Please forgive me.
Beric materializes in a forest with the others. He carries unconscious Ormeline while Lux helps Nim hobble along. In Damodar's castle, Damodar sits on a stone table in front of a hooded figure with a reptilian face. The hooded figure says a spell and Damodar watches as his arm grows back. First the skeleton appears, then the flesh builds up around it. Damodar's lips tremble as he watches the process. Damodar flexes his new hand.
find my orb.
Beric runs into an abbey.
These two just saved Ishmir. Now they must be saved.
Your friends will be attended to. Now you must go. There are horses in the stable.
Yes, go!
Outside, Lux sees a whirling mist in the woods.
Beric! We've been followed. You must fly.
What about you?
I will buy you time to get to Ishmir.
Take this.
Beric gives her his longsword.
Come, villainy. Death awaits you.
As Beric rides off, a flying vampire with leathery wings shoots out of the whirling mist. Lux cuts it down. Lux stabs another flying creature through the stomach. The next one overwhelms her and she falls. Revealing its fangs, the winged vampire tries to bite at Lux as she struggles. Carrying the orb, Beric gallops across a plain chased by one of the flying vampires. In the forest, Lux loses the fight as the vampire sinks its fangs into her neck. Out on the plain, the vampire lunges for the orb from above, scratching Beric's face. As Beric reaches the city, Valerius orders soldiers to shoot down the flying vampire from a bridge. Arrows rain down on the vampire, splattering the city walls with blood. Beric rides into the city market, slumped over his horse, but still carrying the orb. The king watches as he dismounts wearily. Bloodstained Beric staggers over to the king.
Beric, you've done it.
Melora. Where's Melora?
Later, Beric staggers down the stone corridor beneath the library, followed by the king and Valerius. He reaches Melora and Oberon.
Beric!
He notices Melora's deathly face.
Damodar has cursed her.
You found the orb. I knew you would. Quick, place it here while there's still time.
She places the orb in a hole in the center of the door. The door explodes with bright light. The light vanishes. The door has disappeared, revealing a room on the other side. The center of the floor has a gold circle on it.
This is what I saw in my vision. The Turanian mages.
Inside the circle is an acorn leaf. As Melora reaches to pick it up, a fiery explosion rips through the corridor. Beric staggers to his feet and looks down at his unconscious wife. He makes his way into the corridor where the king, some mages, and Valerius lie frazzled and blackened on the floor.
Where's the orb?
Beric hurries into the library where more people lie dead and burnt on the floor. Outside, Oberon holds the orb. In a city square, people lie dead on the ground. Beric runs out onto a bridge and sees Oberon.
Oberon!
Oberon turns and faces Beric, who looks confused and shaken.
Only by Damodar's graces. He won't serve himself.
Oberon turns into a winged vampire. And transforms again in front of a black-clad Damodar who's waiting for him. It's white-faced, ghoulish-featured Clax. He walks towards Damodar, holding the orb out. Damodar takes the orb from the clawed hand of Clax, the undead lich.
Well done, lich.
We'll see.
Damodar juts his jaw out.
This day, my life begins anew.
Damodar trembles and turns towards the black mountain beyond, which begins to shake. Klax and Damodar watch as a gigantic dragon bursts from the mountain and flies up into the air. The dragon swoops down towards Damodar, who holds out the orb. The dragon lands beneath the grassy bank in front of Damodar and rears up its huge head. It has a bony face, curling horns and yellow eyes. Damodar puts the orb on the ground. The dragon stamps down on the orb with its foot and grips onto it. Bolts of light shoot up the dragon's neck, and he roars up at the sky. Damodar looks up at the dragon.
I only ask to witness the destruction of Ishmir, and that I rule over its remains as your thrall.
Shall be raised to mark the beginning of my reign. Your tribute will be 100 heads for every new moon in honor of my release.
As you wish, my lord.
The dragon beats its wings and flies off. Damodar watches the dragon swoop towards Ishmir beneath a clear, bright sky. Beyond the walls of Ishmir, people panic and scatter. Soldiers ride towards the gates and organize themselves at the defensive walls. The dragon flies around the city. As the dragon breathes fire over the city, archers line up with bows drawn.
Archers!
Down in the secret room beneath the library, Beric cradles Melora's head.
Oh, Melora. You can't die. I need you. Ishmir needs you.
Outside, the archers take aim. As they fire, the dragon blasts flames at them, hitting several archers and setting them alight. Fireballs hit the market square, sending people and debris flying. The dragon soars over different sections of Ishmir, shooting fireballs from its mouth. Archers on the city walls take aim again. A hooded man staggers around with his clothes on fire. Another man is blown out of a building. Beric.
Ishmir is dying.
I can't.
Yes, you can. My friends believed even when I didn't, and that gave me the strength to do what I had to do. Dorian told me there was a weapon for good other than magic and steel.
place?
Yes.
In my vision, I saw the Turanian mages on their knees. Yes, it has to be. They were praying.
Who were they praying to?
Melora picks up an acorn and an oak leaf from the floor.
There was a mask made from acorns and oak leaves in the Temple of Obadhai.
The god of nature. He has power over all the elements. The Turanians were praying to Obadhai.
A glowing emblem shines from within the oak leaves. Melora places it on the circle in the floor as mages gather in the doorway to watch. A spear of electric light shoots upwards from the circle and expands outwards into a bright pillar. Melora goes to step inside it.
I must prove my faith to Obadhai.
But it'll tear you to pieces.
Beric! Let me go.
Beric holds his wife's hands tightly as the pillar bathes them in bright light. Beric and Melora kiss. Beric steps away and Melora readies herself to step into the Pillar of Light. As she steps inside, the light morphs into glowing tendrils that wrap themselves around Melora. Beric is thrown backwards by a blast. As the light disappears, Melora is revealed holding onto a crystal orb.
Take me to the tower.
Damodar smiles as he watches the dragon swooping around over the city. On a stone tower, Melora stands with Beric and some mages. The orb in her hand shines brilliant silvery white. She holds the orb into the air. The dragon swoops over them and sends more fireballs hurtling down towards the people of the city. Melora collapses as the orb starts to gather force.
Keep her alive! I don't care what it takes!
The mages create a shield of light with their staffs.
You must keep her alive till I break Damodar's curse!
Beric sees Damodar watching the carnage from the faraway bank. Moments later, he gallops towards the city gates on his horse. Damodar sees Beric approaching and speaks to Clax.
Kill him.
Kill him yourself, O great and powerful Damodar. Beautiful. The look on your face has made this whole endeavor worthwhile. O mana Meloi.
Clax transforms into a winged vampire and flies off.
And so it goes, Lich.
Over Ishmir, the dragon continues circling and shooting fire down into the streets. A soldier is blasted straight through a wall. Up on the tower, a mage looks at weak Melora.
She's dying! Take the orb!
The mage tries to take the orb and is blown straight over the side of the tower by it. On a grassy plain, Damodar gallops along, his black cape billowing behind him. Beric chases him on his horse. Lux runs out from cover and screams at Damodar's horse. The horse rears, sending Damodar to the ground. Lux kicks Damodar in the face.
This is to Dorian, Nim, and Dormaline. Go back to hell!
Lux! No! Lux, control yourself. If you kill him, Melora dies. He has cursed her.
What do I care of curses?
Melora is all that stands between Ishmir and destruction. Justice will be brought to this monster. I promise you. Lux, you are not your brother.
Lux slowly hands her dagger to Beric. Beric takes the dagger and holds it to Damodar's throat.
Remove the curse, or I'll kill you and have you brought back into the agony of the undead.
Damodar remains poker-faced.
In time, you will realize you have merely saved your own tomb. I look forward to watching you rot in it. We rot together, then.
Damodar holds out the strands of Melora's hair. A puff of smoke shoots out from them. On the tower, Melora's face has returned to colour. She looks at the orb and slowly gathers strength. She raises her head from the ground and watches the dragon flying through the thick black smoke of the burning city. Archers duck behind a fort wall as flames hit it. As the gigantic bony dragon flies along, Melora holds up the orb. Swirling rays of light form a circle around the orb, which shoots out a beam, hitting the dragon and trapping it in the sky above. The dragon writhes in the sky, trying to escape, but the light holds it fast. From the grassy plain, Lux, Beric, and Damodar watch the dragon thrashing about in the sky, trapped by the beam. The dragon is launched by the beam into a deep lake by a forest. As the water bubbles on the lake, the dragon sinks down into the dark depths. On the tower, Melora stands with the orb, which vanishes into thin air. Beyond the tower, plumes of black smoke rise into the sky from parts of the burning city. Another day. City life has resumed. People trade in the marketplace. A blacksmith hammers at an anvil. Beric strolls down a street smiling at people. In the grounds of an abbey, Ormeline and Nim proudly work at some gardening, flashing smiles at a monk as he comes to check on them. Beric checks the goods at an armourer's stall and smiles up at Lux as she rides by on a horse. In the Mages' Guild, mages sit at a long table looking up at Melora, who's dressed in ceremonial robes. A bearded mage hands her a staff. In a dark, damp prison cell, the floor covered in wet straw, Damodar's pale face peers out from the shadows. He stares ahead, looking forlorn. ITFC audio description.